Well, Labor Day weekend is here, and that gives us the opportunity to reflect on our work and our purpose in life. And to help us in this reflection, I invite us to study Paul's letter of Philemon today. This short personal letter was written by Paul to his friend Philemon, who was also a believer. Lots of commentary has been written about this scripture. It invites us to think about things like forgiveness and reconciliation, but it also helps us consider where we find our true value and purpose in life. So with that said, let's listen now to our scripture passage. Philemon is in the New Testament just before the book of Hebrews. If you're turning quickly, it's easy to pass this little letter. It's only one page in my Bible, but you'll find it just before the letter to Hebrews. And I'll be reading all 21 verses, or the first 21 verses of Philemon. And the reading of the Bible that I'll be reading from is the New Revised Standard Version. So let's listen now to these words of Scripture. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you, your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Amen. Lots of folks are using this Labor Day weekend to take road trips or travel to the beach, and among them are almost 100 of our members who were at Fort Caswell this weekend for our annual family retreat. This is a popular event because people like having one last fun adventure before settling back into a more normal schedule of work and school. But no matter what your plans are for this holiday weekend, to me the best part is getting a paid day off from work. And I think people from all over the world enjoy getting paid time off from their work. You know, every country observe some number of federal holidays. We have 11 here in the United States, including Labor Day. Cambodia, though, provides the most federal holidays with 28, and Mexico offers the least with 7. But in addition to federal holidays, most countries require their employers to give their employees paid vacation time. Now, workers in Canada get at least 2 weeks of paid vacation, and while those in Brazil and France get a whopping 30 days off. Now, we generally love our vacation time, but we don't normally measure the value of our lives by how we spend our leisure time. Instead, we measure our value by what we do. You know, we connect our identity to our work. Now, it's often one of the most important things in our lives. You know, when we meet people for the first time, what is it that we ask just to get to know them a little bit better? We want to know what they do for a living, what kind of job they have, not how they spend their free time. Now, vacation time is a good thing, but it seems to me that people struggle when they have extended periods of time where they have nothing to do. And I think people struggle with this because they feel like they're not contributing to life in a meaningful way. And this is a struggle we sometimes see with people who retire. I've noticed that lots of retirees eventually volunteer or pick up part-time jobs, even if they might not need to earn any extra money. You know, it's human nature to want to know that we have purpose in life. We want to contribute in a useful way. And that's why we often define our lives by what we do and what we accomplish. With tomorrow being Labor Day, we have the opportunity to not only reflect on our work, but to think about what brings value to our lives and how we bring value to other people. You know, are we contributing to life in a meaningful way? And are we feeling like we're being put to good use? Are we simply allowing life to pass us by? Those are some important questions I think we should try to answer. As we reflect on these questions, I want to turn back to Philemon. This is one of the shortest books in the Bible, and it introduces us to a slave owner named Philemon and his runaway slave, Onesimus. There's a lot that we don't know about these two people, but Philemon appears to have an ongoing relationship with the Apostle Paul, who addressed this letter to him and to the leaders of the church that meet in his home. Many scholars believe that Paul started this congregation on one of his missionary journeys, or at least he visited them and preached there. In reading this letter, we quickly realize that Onesimus had evidently run away from Philemon. The letter doesn't give us any details as to what happened, but Paul makes it clear that Onesimus has become a different person who's been changed by the grace of God. And during his time with Paul, Onesimus came to faith in Jesus Christ, and he became convinced that he needed to return to Philemon. Now, some scholars believe that this letter was written by written by Paul and delivered by Onesimus to his own master. And Onesimus no doubt expected Philemon to treat him harshly. Returning to Philemon was considered the right thing to do back in that day because that's where Onesimus legally belonged. I think it's unfortunate, however, that Paul doesn't address the injustice of slavery in this letter. That just reminds us that Paul was a product of his time. Slavery was considered a normal part of life back then, and people simply accepted it without question. But it is helpful for us to recognize that Paul writes about Onesimus in ways that a person would not have talked about a slave in those days. in a warm and affectionate way, Paul describes how he became Onesimus' father in the faith and how Onesimus really captured his heart. And Paul is so impressed with him that he tells Philemon how he considered asking him to stay. Now, Paul clearly had a soft spot for Onesimus and perhaps for all those who were held in the bonds of slavery. Paul never condemns this sin, but he does appeal to Philemon's faithfulness in God. And he goes so far as to ask Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to receive him, not as a slave, but as a brother, as though he were Paul himself. And Paul even offers to pay for whatever Onesimus might have taken when he ran away. But more than anything else, Paul tries to convince Philemon that his relationship to Onesimus, as slave owner to slave, no longer applies, because all that really matters is that they are brothers in Jesus Christ. In verse 11, Paul offers Philemon a new way of to see his relationship to his slave. He writes, "He was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me." So let's step back a moment and try to understand what Paul is saying with this verse. Now, Philemon must have been a man of some means. He was wealthy and had enough social status to own slaves. He also owned a house large enough to accommodate a church gathering where people could spread out and be comfortable. Onesimus, on the other hand, was a slave, and his value was seen only in what he could do to serve Philemon. Now, so Paul was correct when he told Philemon that Onesimus had been useless to him while he was away. He wasn't around to do his work. But then Paul points out to Philemon how Onesimus has become useful to both of them. Not as a slave, though, but as a brother, as a fellow disciple of Jesus Christ. See, their former social status as slave owner and slave have been dissolved in Christ. And what Paul is saying is that all human beings are of great value. Now, that may seem obvious to us, but in the time of Philemon and Onesimus, this idea would have been considered radical, because it was unheard of to think that two different people from two different ends of society could hold equal value and, in fact, be equals to each other. But this is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul's convinced of this. He writes in Galatians 3:28 and again in Colossians 3:22 that all categories that seem to subject one person to another are erased because there is no longer slave or free. We are all one in Jesus Christ. Now, slavery, of course, is no longer an issue in our country, but I think many of us struggle to balance our work or our school with the rest of our lives. Sometimes we even joke that we are slaves to our jobs. Now, I think we all go through periods where we feel like we don't have enough time for anything other than our work. And it really is easy to tie up our identity with what we do. Now, the holiday that we're celebrating this weekend grew out of a desire of workers to be valued beyond their jobs. They wanted to have a life outside of work. See, the history of Labor Day can be traced back to a demonstration led by the Central Labor Union on September 5th, 1882. This union organized a parade in New York City that marched from City Hall to Reservoir Park. And at the park, there were picnics, and a concert, and people giving speeches that demanded an 8-hour workday. Back then, the average work week for a full-time laborer who was working in a manufacturing plant was 100 hours. That works out to 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Can you imagine working from, say, 7 a.m. to at least 9 p.m. every day of the week without ever getting a day off? That kind of schedule seems awful to me, and you certainly wouldn't have time for anything other than your job. Well, Congress apparently listened to all the workers who were pleading for some help and for change, and eventually they passed some legislation creating Labor Day in 1894. However, the 8-hour workday and the 40-hour work week didn't become standard practice until 1940. Now, I think all of us are grateful that that happened, and yet many of us still struggle to find the right balance between our work or our school and the rest of our lives. And even when we have a day off like tomorrow, we may be tempted to peek at our email or check our voicemails just to make sure that we haven't missed anything important. Now, I think we all want to believe that our lives are more than what we do. But our inability to disengage from our jobs can send a different message. Now, it is tempting to measure our lives by what we do and what we accomplish. But if we're not careful, we can end up viewing ourselves in the way that Philemon once viewed his slave Onesimus, that we're only useful by what we do for our work. Go back to verse 11 where Paul says, "He was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me." There was a time when Onesimus was useless, but now he is useful. He is full of use. And that change happened because of Christ. For it's in Christ that Onesimus became full of good use. In Christ, he found his true self. He found his identity. He found his usefulness. He's no longer a slave with the sole purpose of serving Philemon, because he's now a disciple of Jesus. And just like Paul and Philemon, he's called to serve Christ by serving others. We are also full of use as disciples of Jesus. We're full of use whether we're employed or unemployed, whether we're rich or poor, whether we feel satisfied or dissatisfied with our work, whether we're retired or still working. We are full of use as Jesus' disciples because we are called to serve the Lord in our everyday living. We can serve Christ when we sit at our desk and do our work, when we volunteer making meals for the hungry, or when we go on a mission trip, or even when we drive our kids or our grandkids to soccer practice or ballet. You know, our lives are not measured strictly by what we do in our jobs, but by our usefulness to Christ. So on this Labor Day weekend, let's give thanks to God for our jobs. You know, work is a good thing, and there are many thousands of people around this world who would love to have a job. Let's also give thanks for those in our country who worked for a normal, standard work week of, you know, 40 hours a week so that people wouldn't have to toil away in a sweatshop 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. But most of all, let's use this weekend to commit ourselves, or to recommit ourselves, to finding our usefulness in Christ. For it is in Christ that we find our true purpose. We find our identity. When we follow Jesus, we do find that we are full of good use for God's kingdom. So in closing, I have a question for you to answer. This is a question just between you and God. But what do you sense is your God-given purpose at this stage in your life? Or put another way, how does the Lord want to use you? Would you pray with me? Holy God, you love us with an infinite amount of love which gives us confidence to live with purpose and to know that we are indeed full of good use for you. Help us to find ways to share your love with others so that we can be useful in building up your kingdom. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we will sing a hymn of response. It's hymn number 287, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord. As we sing, I'll be here at the front of the sanctuary, and if anyone feels moved to come forward and share how God is working in your life and how you are responding to what God has spoken to you today, I invite you to come forward. But this is a time to make decisions about discipleship, ministry, and church membership. But let's stand now and sing our hymn together, hymn 287.